Support for KNKX comes from WSECU, now offering 3 new Visa credit cards and 3 new checking accounts, with benefits that fit a variety of lifestyles and financial needs. More information is available at WSECU.org. WSECU, serving Washington since 1957.
Hey, you're listening to Sound Effect. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. This is our new midweek podcast drop where we take a story from last week's show and give it a spin and talk about it a little bit, get some of the backstory. I am joined today by contributing producer Janae Janik. Welcome back, Janae.
Hey, thanks, Gabe.
Janae was with us for a bunch of months, and then we said so long, and now she's back in for this this encore presentation. So we are going to listen to this story from our show all about Off the Job, and it's about a woman who left a career behind in Iran for fairly complicated reasons. Well, let's give it a listen. This is the story of Sarah Jamshidi from Sound Effect on KNKX. Sarah Jamshidi lives in Seattle, and she runs a news organization called Goltoon News. It covers fashion, but it's pretty unique. Goltoon is all about modest fashion for Muslim women. So this hasn't always been Sarah's work. She used to be a newspaper reporter in Iran, but a series of events there forced her to leave her career behind, events that can be traced back to 1979, when Sarah was a child. That's when her country's government was overthrown during the Iranian Revolution. Sound Effect contributor Janae Janik has the story.
Sarah remembers the revolution as an intense time, with lots of shouting and noise in the streets. And then the new fundamentalist government created laws telling women what they could or could not wear.
Before 1979, my mom didn't used to wear a scarf or a hijab. She could go outside with mini skirt. But after the revolution, everything changed. The government really wanted to control the society. So they made into the law for women to cover. I didn't put on hijab or a scarf up until when I was 15. And I knew that I had to put on manto, it's a big robe, and scarf. And I was thinking, damn, this is not right. Because outside in the summer, men do not have to cover. They do not have to put scarf. They do not have to have long sleeves. Why should I? Girls in my age, 15, 16, 17, rebellious, we had ponytail on our head, and then the scarf was just barely covering any hair, and we had a very, very tight manteau or robe, so you could see so many shapes, and we would have like nail polish. The whole idea was really showing the middle finger to the authority and tell them, hey, you are not in charge of our body and our future. We had morality police on the streets. And one time I remember I was wearing sunglasses my mom brought me. And then the morality police, she stopped me. She started asking questions. And before I know, she just took me to a building. They put me into a dark room and they started questioning about my whereabouts, why I wore those sunglasses. So my uncle had to bail them to take me out.
Sarah decided something needed to be done to change these laws. So she became a journalist. She wrote articles about what it means to be a woman and the struggles of growing up in a conservative Muslim country.
According to the Constitution, I was free to write about the subjects, and the government was free to do whatever. Yeah, it was just a joke between the reporters that you can write whatever you want and the government does whatever they want with you. It was the same time when the chain killing happened. So many of the oppositions against the government and dissidents were killed in their houses. I was working for Jame newspaper when Mr. Safwari Harandi was arrested in the newsroom.
Can you just describe what that was like for you to watch your editor be arrested right in front of you? Because he was your editor, correct?
Yeah, it was horrible. Okay, I don't know. Okay, so basically the head of the newspaper, Mr. Harandi. He came back to the newsroom, and two people were waiting for him outside to take him to Evin News prison. I saw him. He was coming down the stairs, and then he just left the paper. And it was, I mean, at the time, many of us knew that this might be our futures, so to speak. We wanted freedom, and we wanted to have the government to be responsible and accountable for what he was doing. And many of us thinking that our life is a price, very costly price, but a price that we were willing to pay. It was the time when I was receiving threatening letters about throw acid in your face, we are gonna kill you, we are gonna kidnap you. It was the time when the reporters were kidnapped on the streets. And my friend in the intelligence services, covering intelligence services, told me that they have this list called blacklist or red list. The blacklist is for the people or opposition who are writing or doing things the government doesn't really appreciate. So he told me that my name has gone up the list. And one day I was talking with my friend Afsane on my land phone in my dad's house, and I started hearing the coughing sound. So I asked Afsane, is someone is listening to us? And she said, no, there is no one in my house. On the receiver, I said, I know you are listening to us. Tell me who you are. And the person on the phone said, you need to be careful. It was a male, a very heavy voice. So I knew that they are after me.
The death threats, the phone tapping, even her editor's arrest didn't faze her. She wrote for several publications and eventually for Zan newspaper. Zan was founded in 1998 by the former president's daughter. It was the first Iranian newspaper both run by and focusing on women. But less than a year later, the government banned the paper entirely. It was only then that Sarah realized what she was up against.
I thought if the authority allows itself to close down the paper of the president's daughter, they would allow themselves to do anything. 10 months later, 20 publications got shut down in one day. Seven of them, we were working in the same newsroom. They were imprisoned. Yeah, it was serious.
She decided to leave. Her boyfriend was living in Seattle, so she made plans to try and meet him there. The only problem? There were more than 300 people interviewing to get a visa. Only three were available. Somehow, Sarah got one of them.
I was very happy that I got the visa. I was able to leave the country. Because honestly, if you were targeted by the government, the whole family is targeted, so to speak. And I was so relieved that at least my family is left alone.
Was it hard to leave your family not knowing when you would see them again?
I was just thinking, what am I doing here? I don't speak the language. No one knows me. There is no way I can make it. There were so many times when I was taking the classes at UW and going back to Suzulu library and sitting there just crying for 2 hours straight, for 3 hours straight, thinking that, oh my God, this is so difficult. The language is so difficult. And I just kept praying, kept asking God to give me guidance and to just help me to become somehow better than what it was when I started the journey.
What was it like to be a journalist here in America versus over in Iran?
Anytime I open my mouth, so you're from Iran, you're covered, aren't you? And the perception right after that was you're oppressed. And this really bugged me. And I thought, how can I show a larger picture?
Sarah made it her mission to fight against the stereotypes of Muslim women in English language media. But she hadn't yet discovered what would come to be her unique contribution to that mission. That emerged one evening during Ramadan, the holy month when many Muslims fast from sunrise to sunset. There was a huge gathering, maybe 600 people, and Sarah had never seen anything like it.
If I was in Iran, I would see only women in specific colors, specific clothes, black or dark, and women usually always scarf. But here in the United States, they are just wearing beautiful, beautiful dresses. I was just so amazed, mind-blowing, at the same time, very disturbing to see that there was no news coverage. And I thought, I really need to do something about this. We started writing about stories about Muslim women. Clothes, I think, and dress is one way of explaining an aspect of what's important to you. In the Western society, Muslim women has always been criticized for what they wear and how they carry themselves. I found this very troubling. And with Go2 News, we are just reporting on that.
What does it mean for you to be an Iranian American Muslim woman and a journalist at that today?
We inherited the U.S. Constitution, a beautiful literature, rich writing about what it means to be a free person. I read the Constitution 3 times. I think the founding fathers really thought about the process of what it means to be a foreigner, what it means coming from a different land, what it means to hold principles and ideas. Democracy is in the blood and nature of this culture and this nation. And I think we as nation prevail and we as nation are able to hold up to the democracy that the Constitution and our founding fathers has given us.
Sarah hasn't been back to Iran since she left. She says it's too dangerous. 2 of her friends returned and were arrested at the airport. For now, she stays in touch with family through Skype and meets up with relatives in other countries. Because of the Trump administration's travel policy, her family cannot visit her in the United States.
That was Sarah Jamshidi talking to us for this last episode of Sound Effect. And I'm joined now by Janae Janik, the producer who brought us that story. Janae, what is it that like sticks with you about the experience of doing that interview and producing that story?
I think we take the freedom of the press for granted, especially being journalists ourselves. And we can publish, we can report on things, and we don't have any fear of any repercussions from anyone higher up or the government or anything.
Maybe an angry tweet here and there.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. but definitely nothing where we're fearing for our lives. And so hearing her honestly kind of state so matter-of-factly, just the fact that that's just how it was. And she knew every single day that she might be putting her life on the line, and seeing her friends and co-workers actually, you know, taken and put in prison for reporting on these things that they strongly believed in, just really, really stuck out with me and just made me appreciate the freedom that we have here.
And we should mention, you know, we did talk a little bit about some more current events-y kind of stuff, including immigration policy and the Trump administration's travel ban and so on. And she definitely had some opinions about that that, you know, we were not able to include just for time. So it's just really interesting how she's able to hold both of those things kind of at the same time. You know, her deep respect and admiration for the United States and its founding ideals, but also a pretty sophisticated critique of the way that, you know, that's playing out right now, and particularly in regards to the Muslim world. Did you get a chance to look at Go2 News a little bit?
I did, yes.
Can you describe what the fashion, you know, is like? What are the images like?
I would say that they look more like Persian, Iranian clothes, you know, the headdress and like long robes and such, but they have a whole style of their own to them. And it's not jeans and a t-shirt or anything what we would see as like a Western street outfit. It's definitely a whole nother style and a whole nother type of dress.
Janae Janik is a contributing producer to Sound Effect. Thanks for coming in, Janae.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And you can catch the next episode of Sound Effect when it drops on Saturday, and we'll continue to spin out one of these stories in the midweek podcast drop as well. I'm Gabriel Spitzer for Janae Janik and the Sound Effect team. Thanks so much.